Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well on this beautiful October day. I am broadcasting from our opulent offices in downtown, not quite downtown State College, but close, Happy Valley. For those of you that don't know, I'm the president of Financial Abundance, which is a registered investment advisory firm registered in the state of Pennsylvania, and we are in Happy Valley, yes, where Penn State resides. We are Penn State, but we're not going to talk sports today. We're going to talk money, and I'm going to start with the market update. Which we do on occasion, with the intent of trying to communicate to folks what the global market environment has done in the recent past, or in our case, year to date, most often when we're communicating. And the intent is to instill some confidence as it relates to what the market has done. Because most people, when you ask them, are they getting market returns, they look at you kind of like a deer in the headlight type of thing. What do you mean market returns? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as it relates to the market, according to Nobel laureates and empirical research, it's pretty clear that the data has made a conclusive case that we all are involved in the same market, and the market is a zero-sum game in the long haul. In order for someone else to win, someone else has to lose. So we all are basically, at the end of the year, in the same market. What you end up keeping is the market returns for that year minus the cost of investing. Those costs both that we see and costs that we don't see, that's a whole nother podcast and another conversation. The point I want to make is that whenever one is investing, you're going after global market returns, what the broad-based global marketplace has produced that year. And the market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up. One out of every 3 years is down. We never know which year is going to be up and which year is going to be down, but we do have a clear historical track record that says there's a two-thirds bias. And when we look at any time frame, we can see that play out. So understanding that we are all in the same market, and interestingly, when I deal with coaching clients and managing portfolios and all the stuff that we do, it's interesting that if I look at a swath of different clients, a dozen different clients, for example, or different portfolios, if you will, we basically see a lot of the same companies invested in these portfolios. It's just how each individual is going about doing it. Some, in fact, way too many are relying on the social, political, economic news to discern what direction they may want to go with their portfolios. That would be the active group predominantly. And the smaller group that's more academic says, well, the social, political, economic climate is always going to change. News is always going to be there. But the price of stocks and goods and services is factored in instantaneously on current news, and only new news would change that, and new news that would be unknowable to anyone prior to the news being released, or at least legally, they would not be in know of news that was news before it was being released. My point is that we are all in the same market environment, and oftentimes you could look at different portfolios, and aside from the active transactional nature of people trying to chase the social, political, economic climate, and how that elicits one of two predominant responses. One is news and a lot of the information out there implies and encourages people that they may be missing out on something if the market's doing well in certain areas and sectors, or if the market's taking a crash or dumping out that day, how they need to fix something. When if we're all in the same market, at the end of the year, we're all going to get the same market return minus the cost of investing. And if you've limited transactions to a small number, to none, preferably, then you have very little cost draining the portfolio or the market return. All that was to make a point as to why we do the market update. Well, When I ask most people, are you getting market returns? They don't have a clue what the market's doing. And this is why we do a market update, to give people some insight, one source, if you will, that you can go to and understand how the global marketplace is doing overall. So as of December 19th, 2015, I have the market update. And my goodness, what a crazy year it's been this year. Wow. A lot of volatility this year. Fairly flat year last year. Prior to that, 13 was up, 14 was flat. 15 is rocky and a little behind right now for the year. Let's go ahead and look at that. When we look at the Russell 2500, which measures small to mid-sized U.S. companies, small to mid-U.S., year-to-date as of October 19th, business close, it's down about 1%. Interestingly, it was about, it wasn't 20 days ago, it was down 7.5%. And then we look at 4 months ago, it was up 4.5%. So that goes to show the volatility we've had this year. In small to mid-sized U.S. companies, we've gone from the middle of 2015 being 4.5% up to September being down 7.5%, and now we're down about a point. So we've gotten a lot back after we gave a bunch up. We never know what area is going to be up. This is why you want to understand the concept of modern portfolio theory and dissimilar price movement. We don't know whether it's going to rain or the sun's going to shine, but we're going to own umbrellas and suntan lotion both, because we're going to get whatever one is up, i.e., we want global market returns. We want the total returns that the market has to offer in any given year. Some years it's negative overall. Some years it's positive overall. Some years it's a little bit negative in some areas and positive in others. And that's most often what happens. Back to the market update. Russell 2000, small to very small companies. So these wouldn't be small to mid-US. These would be small to very small or micro. And it's down 2.3% as of October 19th. By comparison, it was 9% about a month ago, negative. And 3 months ago in June, it was about 4% up. So, wow, we've gone from a positive 4 to a negative 9 up to a negative 2. So we've gained a lot of ground in the last few weeks. Let's go to the Russell 1000 value, which measures the performance of large cap value. These would not be large value and there's large growth. These would be not the growth, but the value. Example, Walmart would be a growth company. Kmart would be a value company. Believe it or not, if you invested in Walmart and you invested in Kmart, you should expect the higher return from Kmart, not from Walmart. I know that goes against the grain in the thinking. People think, Walmart would be a better company. Well, it would be from the viewpoint of doing business and borrowing money and share price and so on. As a result, the academics tell us we should expect a risk premium, a premium for the risk that we would take by owning a Kmart over a Walmart. But as of October 19th, 2015, large cap value segment is down 3.4%. Well, that's quite a jump up from the negative 10.5 we were a month ago. And about a point, it was about a point negative back in June. So this asset class is not been very exciting for this year. Let's go to the Russell 2000 value, which measures the performance of small value companies. So these would not be small growth. These would be small value companies. And the Russell 2000 value as of October 19th is down 4.5%. Quite a jump up from a negative 11. That was one of the stronger areas in the U.S. that was down last month. And now we're down 4.5%. I'm sorry, 4.5 compared to 11, and it was about a point up in June. Last one, S for the U.S., S&P 500, that would be the generally the one that most of us look at because you see it on the nightly news. It represents predominantly U.S. large companies, so 500 U.S. large companies. It really is kind of a cross-section of the U.S. Economics in the large area. And as of October 19th, it was negative 1.2%, but up quite a bit from about a month ago when it was negative 8.5. And generally, in June, it was negative 0.06. So that area of the marketplace has not been very rosy at all for 2015. But they certainly have gained some ground since the last market update, or at least a month ago. Now, let me just make a point here that's vitally important. And it's important to understand the concept of rigorous target allocation in a portfolio and rebalancing on those targets. And it's so vital to understand this because, you know, we can never control whether the market's up, whether it's down, but we can control how we react to it. And the reaction that most of us want to, when we listen to the news and the market's up, is we want to put more money in it. When the market's down, we want to take money out of it. When generally, that's just the opposite of what you should be doing. And it's interesting because someone might say, well, geez, look, I mean, I was up in June. I went way, way down in September. Now I've got a lot of it back in October. What does that mean? Well, to most investors, it means a rocky ride is what it means, a roller coaster ride, if you will. But for those that are practicing an academic, structured approach to investing, those people are actually capitalizing when the rest of the market's going wacko. And let me illustrate. And it's not a great illustration, but I think it's basic enough where even a novice can kind of get a grasp on the reality of what the market does. See, when the market goes up or down and you have money in the market, it's a unrealized gain or a unrealized loss, meaning that it's paper. It's paper at this juncture. Now, if you were to go cash that out, whether it be up or down, then you would have either a realized gain or a realized loss. It went from unrealized on paper to realized real. So when the market goes down, of course, you don't want to take money out when the market's down. But when you look at it and people say, well, geez, my account's down. I've lost X amount of dollars. Well, you haven't really lost it until you lock it in by selling it. It may be an unrealized loss or in an up market, an unrealized gain. Well, it's vital to understand the academia behind sound investing, and that is own equities, diversify, and rebalance, and realize that investing is a lifelong endeavor. So what happens is, let me give you the importance of this, because I make a statement every so often that a lot of people do not understand, and it is conflictual when I make it, but let me illustrate. If I said to you, well, right now the market's down, so the value in your account, the account balance is down. The account balance is lower than it was because the market's down. But the value in your account is actually greater. Now, that confuses people. Well, and it does sound confusing, doesn't it? Well, let's look at it this way. Let's say you had 100 shares of whatever, okay? And that 100 shares was $10. And because the market's at a current downward trend, or it has been this year, rocky, crazy, and it's down right now, let's say instead of $10, each of those 100 shares is worth $9. So as a result, we know that the account value is lower. There's no doubt about that. The account balance is lower. But by understanding rigid, structured target allocations, actuals, and rebalancing, we know that is an opportunity to rebalance. And so what we would do at that juncture is take some of the cash portion of the portfolio, which it should have a portion in there, significant to a small portion, depending on the risk factor, the sleep factor, we like to call it. And you're going to buy up some stocks. And what you end up with is instead of 100 shares, you have 108 shares. Now, granted, they're $90. They're down. But when the market turns, that's when you're going to see the value of rebalancing. Realize, people say ever so often, Paul, I'm 65 years old. I'm retiring next year. I don't have 20 or 30 years. Well, I beg to differ with you, my friend. You do. You have 10, 15, 20, 30, most people when they retire, 20 to 40 years before they check out. How long does your money need to last? Till you retire or till you check out? Well, till you check out. Because ultimately, the money that you're saving in your portfolios, your IRAs, your 401ks, your 403bs, your 457, your simple, your Roth IRAs, ultimately is going to translate to a tributary of income. A tributary that will flow into other tributaries that will become a river of income. This is why the market update's so important. Now, it is an emotional ride if you look at your balances too often, and I wouldn't encourage people to do that because it elicits action. that there needs to be something done, because if the market's up and you're not getting as much as you think you should, you feel like you should do something. When the market's down, you feel like you should fix something. When in most cases, in fact, almost all cases, the best thing to do is nothing, because there'd be no reason. Listen, this is very important. Any process, advisor, electronic process, stockbroker, any process that allows an investor to arbitrarily change their portfolio based on the social, political, economic climate or news is not helping the process. They are part of the problem. It's enabling bad behavior. This is why the market update is so important. All you got to realize is, hey, what are the current market returns? What is the market doing as a whole? And how am I doing compared to it? And it should be very close in a well-diversified, global-based portfolio. I'm getting long-winded, so let me close out with international. We use the Morgan Stanley Capital International Index. We look at the World Index that really is designed to measure the developed markets internationally, those countries like Australia and Canada and Denmark and Germany and Japan and New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, etc., United Kingdom. Well, it's down negative 1.74%, so almost 2% negative compared to 9 a month ago and compared to about 2% positive 3 or 4 months ago. When we go to emerging markets, that's been a real bummer for the last couple of years, emerging markets. You got to keep rebalancing into it. It's the prudent play. It will turn at some point. I remember back in 9 or 10, it saved the portfolios because we picked up 90% or 80 or 90% in emerging markets 1 year. So you never know whether it's going to rain, the sun's going to shine. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to have serious targets, serious actual, when actuals are off skew of target of your portfolio weightings. It needs to be rebalanced. Avoid the sector and all that shenanigans and really the news. All it does is imply imprudent behavior. It encourages, it infers you should do something. It implies you should do something. Then it encourages a process where you can do something. And in most times, it's detrimental. It's not helpful to your portfolio, assuming you have a well-diversified global-based portfolio to start with. That's making a big assumption, by the way. A huge assumption. If you're not sure and you don't know, get coached up. Go to our website, faicoach.com. Give our office a call. Get educated. Shame on you if you don't. It's your problem, not anyone else's, if you don't get educated about what you need to do with your money moving forward, respectfully. Emerging markets, we're October 19th, as I just mentioned, down 9. I'm sorry, that was last time. Emerging markets is 9% as of now. It was negative 18 a month ago. Negative 18, ouch. Now it's negative 9. Boy, that makes you feel pretty good. And negative 9 doesn't sound good at all, does it? But compared to negative 18, it's pretty bad. Where we were at about a third of the point to the positive, about 0.32% to the positive back in June. Last area, Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe Australia Far East, negative 1.4 compared to negative 9 about a month ago and positive 4.5 a few months ago. Wow. It has been a rocky, rocky market. I hope you've been focused and educated on prudence. There is nothing to solve. If you have a well-diversified portfolio, you have targets, you have triggers for your rebalancing, you have all that stuff in line, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing to do. Flip off the news, put on a nice record or some soothing music, and enjoy the day, because there's nothing to be done about the market and all the noise that you hear. And believe it or not, that's what the academics refer to the news. They actually call it noise. Because again, in the end result, we're all in the same market environment. So we all get the same market return minus the cost of investing. If you'd like to learn more about retirement planning, income planning, how to distribute your estate, legacy planning, estate planning, certainly the market and a prudent academic approach to the market, give our office a call, 814-867-5745, 814-867-5745, or go check out our website, faicoach.com, faicoach.com. We have a lot of blogs on there. I mean, we were just talking about it here in the office this morning. There's binders full of blogs through the years that are available via our website. And it's all meaty. No marketing stuff, all meaty stuff. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope you picked up a nugget today. I hope I enriched your life with a little piece of information. We know knowledge is power. The rich get richer. It's not by accident. It's by design. And you know, you don't need to know everything when it comes to investing. You just need to know the few right things. And if you don't know, then all you got to do is find a coach and get coached up. I hope this finds you well. Have an awesome day. We'll talk to you next time. Take care.